Do you find yourself in burnout mode more often than you'd like? Have you introduced the term PTSI anywhere in your life with your family or friends? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of The Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.love. And today we're going to be joined by guest Jen Lewis to talk about burning the bridge to burnout. Hello everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So today we are going to be talking about burning the bridge to burnout and PTSI, which most of you know as PTSD. Jen will be getting into this a little bit later, but the idea is post-traumatic stress injury is actually the preferred nomenclature within the industry or among the community. But I know that PTSD is very much what we're used to saying or hearing. It's the same thing, but it is an injury, not a disease. We're going to be getting into all of that, a great big conversation with a great big gal. Her name is Jen Lewis. For those of you who have been into the Zen Room, you've likely been to one of her classes or seen her for private sessions. She is a wonderful addition to the Zen Room. She started working with me a few years back. And her background is she came to me from the first responder world or the dispatch world. And I'm going to let her take the microphone here and introduce herself. So, Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Yes, it has been an absolute pleasure to join the Zen Room and be a part of the Zen Room community, and also to be in a position where, as Dawn mentioned, I've got some experience in the first responder world. So now being able to blend that world and the Zen Room world to help others heal and to help others feel like they don't have to stay stuck in their mud.
So what's interesting is I remember the first time that you came to the Zen Room, you weren't really sure what you signed up for, and anybody listening to this might know exactly what you mean. So is it fair to say you came kicking and screaming?
Oh, for sure. For sure. We have a mutual girlfriend of ours that at the tail end of my career, when I was dealing with post-traumatic injury and burnout, a girlfriend said, "Hey, come to a group meditation class." And I was like, "Nope, that sounds weird. Not my thing. No, thank you. I don't hug trees." And I had this whole misconception of what it was, but I had nothing to lose at that point in my life. So I went, and it was a life changer and a game changer, and here I am.
So I remember one of the things that I had noticed about you energetically is that you were very sensitive. And when I remember asking the entire class, okay, go around the room and tell me what you do for a living, and you said that you were a 911 dispatcher call taker, I was like, oh boy, and you haven't learned how to manage your energy, so that must have been difficult. And I think, is it fair to say you only were able to do the job for less than a year?
Just about a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what's cool now is that you can, when you said you're taking the two worlds, you understand the needs of the people sitting in those chairs, and now you are offering that community of dispatchers, you are offering them some tools to help get them in a better space so that they don't have the same reaction that you did, and hopefully not have the same kind of turnover. Is that a fair statement?
Totally.
So for all of the folks out there listening who have stressful jobs, it doesn't even have to be a 911 dispatch job. It could be air traffic controller, or gosh, I mean, you just seriously, you can find stress in any corner in any job. One of the things that you are teaching is how to burn the bridge to burnout. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe the normal stressed out person and what their likely trajectory is if they don't get the assistance they need?
Well, as we know from the work that we do with energy, it's everywhere. And if it's something that is not tended to in the way of, we all have that little nudge of, hey, ooh, I need to look at this. And if we ignore it, that just stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks. And so what we have to do in that term is really truly identify, whoa, what is going on? What am I feeling? What do I need to do that's no longer, what do I need to change that's not working for me?
You know, it's interesting. I was on my walk this morning kind of thinking about how this conversation might go, and I'm going to take it to everyone's living room. There's not a person living, breathing, listening to this podcast who hasn't been moved by a commercial, as silly as it sounds. Maybe it's a commercial that makes you cry because, you know, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup and little Tommy comes home for Christmas and surprises his mom and she cries when she sees him when she comes down the stairs. Like, we've all been moved by the Kleenex commercial. We've all been moved, like, oh my gosh, I'm crying at a commercial. Because we as individual humans have the ability to be empathetic, even if it is to a fake situation on a commercial TV screen, right? Like, you know that this is a set. You know that that's not really, Tommy is not really that woman's son. But in that moment, in that commercial, we are buying it hook, line, and sinker. The sad music is playing. Oh my gosh, like, we have the ability to empathize. So, and we do it in movies. Oh my gosh, I always cry at the same part, at the same movie. Like, I, even though I know it's gonna happen, it still tugs on my heartstrings. We have the ability to empathize. So when you are doing a job, especially I'll take an extreme job, where you are on the phone with a caller who is having a traumatic experience, and maybe they're in the middle of a life and death situation, and your adrenaline is just jacked in that moment, and, you know, you are empathizing because it's not a fake person on the other end of the phone. That's a real person, right? That same ability to empathize, like we do with commercials and movies, translates when you are on a real phone call with a real person. And if you don't have the tools to come down from that massive adrenaline rush of a moment, then you're gonna carry that adrenaline through to the next call and the next call and the next call, and then by what, by hour three, you're hosed.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's even by hour two, depending on how sensitive you are. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that you can do with your people, with your community of people, because I know you work with them a lot. What tools are you giving them to come down from those really hard moments so that they can finish the rest of their day?
Well, yeah, and I'm in a position where I'm able to teach them breathing techniques.
So you said breathing techniques. What is a breathing technique, and what are some of the other tools that you're offering them?
So one of the breathing techniques that I teach in one of my classes is the 5-3-8 method. So basically breathing in for a count of five, holding at the top for a count of three, and exhaling for a count of eight. And we do that three times, and in that I am advising them that when their exhale is longer than their inhale, they're engaging the parasympathetic nervous system. So anytime there is a call or an event or an officer cues up and the officer has some adrenaline going and they feel that spiraling up and out of their body, that is a very quick way to help bring them back down so they're ready for the next call.
Okay, so that's actually a great little tip that I have mentioned many, many, many times before, is this idea of sometimes you don't have a half hour to meditate. Sometimes you just got, you know, a quick minute or two to recalibrate. So that is a very quick recalibration.
Right.
So I feel like I almost want to go back in time a little bit. So the name of your company is Wellness in the Uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And you are very much focused on first responders, not just dispatch.
Correct.
Okay. So, and I know that we'll keep it kind of high level so that we don't get into too many of the nitty-gritty details, but what is it that you would say Wellness in the Uniform is intended to do? What is the mission of Wellness in the Uniform?
The mission is to help the helpers. The mission is to, we were taught in academies and all that there's boxes to check, there's things to do, there's tasks that need to be done, but I wasn't trained where to put what I listened to in my ear for 11 hours when I walked out of the building. Mm-hmm. Yes, they cover nutrition and sleep and how it's all a big part of it, but when there's a call replaying in your head, where do you put that?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you put that in a healthy outlet instead of drinking and overeating or undereating or even sex or even all those kinds of addictions or crutches that people fall into? So wellness in the uniform is a way for me to take the experience that I had firsthand and help transmute that to something of healthy techniques and healthy outlets for first responders.
So basically, you're taking what you have learned along your Zen room travels and you're putting that in a very logical place for you, which was you did burn out.
1,000%.
So basically, you want to teach people how to not burn out.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And it's fair to say, too, that I didn't know where to turn when I felt that sense of burnout. I felt, to be totally transparent, I had suicidal thoughts. I was in a very dark place, wasn't eating, wasn't sleeping, had a marriage bleeding out, and I felt completely isolated and alone. And sharing my experience and helping others realize you're not alone. You're never alone. All you have to do is maybe try something that you wouldn't traditionally try and keep an open mind.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I've said it a million times during COVID. It's amazing how often my phone will ring when someone has hit the bottom of the well, right? It's like, oh my God, I feel so terrible. Okay, I'll try anything. Yeah, energy work, sure, I'll try it now. A year ago, they wouldn't have given it a second thought. So what we're proposing is don't wait until you hit the bottom of the well, catch it early. And it's this whole idea of wellness, meditation, energy work, it's catching on, particularly mm-hmm. in the Bay Area, which is very exciting. But you had mentioned, Jen, you had mentioned that your marriage was bleeding out. I know that you had lost your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have said many times, wellness in the uniform was born the day you lost your mom.
Correct.
Can you explain what that means to you or how that happened?
So, going back to 2016, I found my mom unresponsive and had to call in. Called 911 and got a fire dispatcher who will forever be a faceless friend that I never forget. She talked me into helping lift my mom off the bed onto the ground so I could do compressions until fire arrived. And fire came and unfortunately mom was pronounced at the scene. Also, what was bleeding out that day was my marriage, and I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was not there when all of that was going on. So I took all of that alone, isolated, and in tandem, I was in the hiring process with one of my local departments. So the day before my mom's funeral, I had an oral board interview, and I didn't want to be the girl to call and say, well, my mom just died, I can't make it. So all of that stuff was being suppressed. All of that stuff was being buried because I had a task to do. Mm-hmm. Well, as we know, what we resist persists. And it certainly did. And that's how it all began that day.
So if you were to say, okay, take transmuting something that was probably one of the hardest periods of your life and using it as a springboard to use it to be of service to others, because let's face it, your story is going to be very, very similar for a lot of people listening. They feel like their world is crumbling. They feel like, you know, things are falling apart. Maybe they've experienced, you know, their own personal PTSI, or I know it's very common for people to refer to it as PTSD. And that's a continuum. PTSI is a continuum. There's probably level 10, which is I've seen things I shouldn't have seen in a war. And then there's going to be lighter versions of PTSI. And like I said, it's not an on off switch. It's definitely a continuum. Or it's not a yes, I have it. No, I don't. There can be phases or variations mm-hmm. or degrees is probably the best way of putting it. So for somebody who feels either, hey, I feel like I'm drowning, maybe people feel like they're drowning in debt, and then all of a sudden they've got this massive stress going on at work, these tools and techniques that you're teaching will help anybody. It just so happens that you have focused your attention to the first responder community because they are in, my gosh, what they have to endure daily, all the time. And you just, how do you get a break from that?
Yeah.
So you had mentioned breath work.
Yeah. So what I want to say before we get into the breath work is, I didn't realize that when fast forwarding to when I was in the control room taking calls, every time I had a mom down call, I had a visceral reaction in my body. My body would start shaking without me. My heartbeat was in my head and I thought I was broken. I thought I was weak and I thought there was something wrong with me. And I didn't realize at the time I was suffering from the post-traumatic injury of my experience with my mom. And then out of the control room, I had to re-up my CPR certification and I walk in the room and there's a dummy laying on the ground that I have to pump on their chest and same visceral reaction all over again. And I thought, not only can I not do this job, but there's something wrong.
Well, and you know, I've said this to many people. If there is a cord in your body that has not been healed, it will be a triggerable thing. Because it exists, it's allowed to be plucked.
Mm-hmm.
So had you gone through whatever you need, and there's going to be different folks, you know, different strokes for different folks. Some people are like, nope, you know how I got through my trauma was getting sober and going to therapy. This is not going to be for everyone. Just know that if this resonates with you, grab it and run. If it doesn't, at least know that it's something inside of you that needs to be addressed and don't bury it. This may not be the way you heal it, but know that it needs to be addressed. So now today, as you have, meditation is a regular part of your life and energy work is a regular part of your life. And yes, of course, diet and nutrition and all of those tweaks. If you were to go back and be a first responder today, could you do the job now?
Totally.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. 100% confidence for sure.
So the thing for everyone to know is it doesn't have to be an either or. It is, you can still be the cop, the firefighter, the nurse, the doctor, you know, the front line, the 911 dispatch call taker. You can still do all of those things. But what we're suggesting, what you're suggesting is you need to do your internal work in tandem so that you can be even a better first responder mm-hmm. without sacrificing your spouse or your children, right? Because you hear a lot of stories about this, the families of these first responders are like, hold the phone.
Totally. I became a statistic with the divorce. I mean, it was all part of it and it was all connected. So being able to share with others, hey, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different ways of healing mm-hmm. and thriving mm-hmm. and balance.
So what are the things that you're working on now? And I know that we're not going to mention, you're working with local
police and fire departments.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And can you give us, besides, you know, the nice little breath work technique that you're using, can you give us an idea of what that looks like, how you're helping guide them to handling the stress of a stressful job better?
So it's all about awareness, right? So teaching, as you and I learn from our line of work that we do now, that there's the physical body, the mental body, and the energetic body. And just educating on what that all means, understanding of, as I mentioned, compassion fatigue and burnout, but also that those aren't destinations where you have to set up camp and live the rest of your career. Identifying who's talking, mm-hmm. knowing in any given moment, ego, critic, inner child, all that kind of stuff.
So for those of you who this is your very first podcast, what Jen means is I teach a class where you identify, you know, you're on a beach, you're in a forest, and you call out your inner critic, your inner ego, your inner child, and your intuition. And the idea is that when you realize who is driving the ship at any given time, you can get very, very clear about why you're having that thought, how to retrain your brain to think differently, how to move out of that space, and how to reclaim your state of being again. It's you know, it's a very, very, very eye-opening exercise to do. It was really interesting. So I will share a story with you. Last weekend, I was teaching a class and shall remain nameless because it's appropriate to do so. But in this class, there was a student who, when we did the meditation, we called out all of her eyes, her inner child, her inner critic, her inner ego, and her intuition. You know, I said, where is this pain coming from? She was really experiencing a lot of pain. She was in a lot of pain. There were a lot of tears. And I said, I want you to touch the part of your body where you're experiencing the pain. And she touched her chest. And I said, I want you to ask all of your eyes, your inner critic, your inner child, your inner ego, and your intuition, raise your hand if you are feeling this painful energy in the chest. And she said, my inner child raised its hand. And I said, okay, I want you to ask your inner child to name the pain. And she said, the inner child calls the pain abandoned. And I said, okay. And I said, I want you to sit with that for a minute. I know that you have felt this pain in the chest before. I know that you've used that word several times before. And that is your inner child talking. Now I want you to ask your intuition, do you agree with the name of the feeling in the chest? And the intuition says, no, that belongs to the inner child. And I said, so what is the truth? And she paused and she said, my intuition says I was not abandoned, I was saved. And I remember she just started bawling. All of a sudden, she looked at her previous situation through an entirely different filter, an entirely different lens, and had a complete shift in her perspective. And she felt light. She felt excited. She felt moved. Like, all of a sudden, everything shifted. Her entire state of being shifted. There are people, when hard things happen to you in your past, your inner child definitely, for a lot of people, drives the ship that you call your life, drives the ship that you call your thoughts. It is kind of running the tapes. So if you take a minute to get quiet and get still, which is what is so powerful with meditation, if you take a chance to get quiet and still and actually ask your intuition, what do you have to say on the matter? Your intuition, 99 times out of 100, is going to flip the way that you're looking at it on its tail, show you a completely new way of looking at it, and everything shifts. Everything shifts in your mind, everything shifts in your body, you just feel lighter. So when Jen was talking about, you know, being aware, having the awareness, that is what she's referencing. And I know some of you are, like I said, listening to this podcast for the first time. I just wanted to give you some context of what she was referring to. So awareness around who's having this thought. Mm-hmm. This thought is feeding my body chemicals, which is making it have certain feelings. If you can be aware of who is in charge of the ship in this moment, who's thinking these thoughts, you can reverse them once you shift them.
1000%. And also too, it will permeate and transcend into everything else too. If you have a caller who is clearly having a bad day, are you then absorbing that call and that person's bad day and making it your own? Is your ego just totally PO'd and now you've got a big old chip on your shoulder for the rest of the day and teaching that you're magnetically attracting more of that with the mindset too, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, so what's interesting is if you find yourself, okay, so I've never done the old job that you did, but I can imagine being at the desk with my little headset on and taking a call and somebody says, I've watched 911. I've watched that 911 show. I'm sure
that
it's
is
true.
Not real. Don't believe what you see.
On TV, I'm like, oh my God, that girl should have like been dead 17 times and it's not even their first commercial break.
Oh, TV.
So somebody calls in and they say, you know, we're being robbed. There's a stranger in my house.
Right.
And if you are somebody who has been robbed before or you have that in your past and you are taking that call, is it fair to say that your inner child might be piping in a little bit. Your inner child who still holds the nervousness of being robbed or, you know, having their house broken into when you were six, you know. If you don't heal the things that hurt you, you're going to be a different first responder caller taker.
Totally.
1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that goes for doctors, that goes for business people, that goes, all the things. All of it, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one, what are, so you're teaching a class at the Zen Room in March, Burning the Bridge to Burnout.
Yep.
Without giving away the whole kit and caboodle, because I know it's a whole workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could give people an idea of what that class entails, that'd be awesome.
So it's identifying signs, symptoms, but it's also offering ways to mitigate that and ways to, if there is a program that has been looping in your mind, pattern interrupt, mm-hmm. right? Drawing the awareness of, ooh, this is not serving me. Not only do I not feel great in this program, but I get to write a new one anytime I choose.
Program meaning
a story.
Your own story that you've been telling over and over and over again.
If you tell yourself that, you know, I'm someone who's not worthy of love, or if I'm whatever.
Yeah.
You get to decide at any moment, yeah, I am worthy.
You get to change your story.
Totally.
Yeah. I think it's important for people to know, if you think of your brain as everything that you have experienced, witnessed, experienced firsthand, experienced secondhand, experienced through TV, like whatever input you are getting from your environment, it's writing your software.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you just downloaded an app. And a lot of times people are taking things in and they don't mean to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
totally.
And then they reinforce it by repeating it,
mm-hmm.
right? I heard somebody the other day say, oh, you know what, I'm just a procrastinator. That's what procrastinators do. And I'm like, especially if you say you're a procrastinator, right? You got to stop saying that, first of all.
Right.
By the way, little tip for everybody, whatever comes after the two very powerful words, I am, be very, very conscientious of what you mm-hmm. follow that up with. Don't say, I am a procrastinator. All you're doing is reinforcing procrastination. If you say, I have procrastinating tendencies and I am changing them, I am becoming more and more dependable every day, I am, you know, becoming more and more reliable every day, whatever comes after I am, you are literally making it stronger in that moment. And then if you repeat it over and over and then follow it up with that type of behavior, you are literally going to change the person you are. So mm-hmm. you have full control over the stories you tell yourself, the stories you tell about yourself, and that is no matter what your line of work is. So we had touched a little bit about PTSD being post-traumatic stress and its disease or disorder,
mm-hmm.
and shifting that to be PTSI, which is post-traumatic stress injury.
Correct.
I think the difference in the nomenclature is huge.
It's massive. Massive, 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 massive. Talk about programming, right?
Right.
And talk about throwing that boomerang of like, oh, I'm someone who just suffers from post-traumatic disorder. No.
Yeah.
It can be an injury, and we can heal from injuries if we are given the right tools, the right environment, and the right mentality mm-hmm. and support.
Right.
Anything's possible.
So PTSI is the preferred,
mm-hmm.
and I like that because injury. I had a burn injury, and now I don't anymore. Mm-hmm. If I had a disease, boy, that just sits in your awareness just differently than an injury. Because
totally.
The idea is to be able to use your tools to work through the PTSI and find yourself on the other side once again.
Yep.
Whole and beautiful, with an amazing experience that made you stronger.
Totally.
Yes. Why is it, do you suppose, that in the first responder world, now this is not going to be, you know, case studies and all that, but why do you suppose people tend to bury things in that world?
Because in my opinion, first responders are taught that if you feel, that's a sign of weakness. Especially as a young first responder, right? There's this militant, paramilitary, you know, take it on the chin, don't ask, don't tell. And also too, it is something that feeling you don't have time for. When you're doing the job and the calls are coming in or the offices are queuing up, you don't have time to sit with what you're feeling. So doing that for 12 hours and then walking out the door with it and then being mandatory to come back the next day, when does that leave you time to process?
Yeah.
To help mitigate some of that in a right. healthy way.
Right.
It doesn't leave a lot of room.
Yes.
So being able to change the culture, right? We're moving in a culture that we are, and I'm so grateful for the departments that I'm working with, that they are recognizing the wellness and thriving of their people is paramount, mm-hmm. not just for retention, but for their thriving as individuals being part of the team.
Correct.
And that's so huge.
I have noticed, you have noticed, I think you had a whole group of SWAT members, right?
Yes. Ooh, that was fun. That was so fun. Yeah.
So it was, the Zen room was filled with SWAT team members, which uh-huh. I'm like, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. And did they take to the exercises?
Totally. So that was strictly that wasn't a workshop. That was a guided meditation class that right. I had a private class for a group of officers, SWAT officers. And we did a guided meditation. And at the end of it, the ones that were a little bowed up and like, meh, 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 when they yeah. first walked in, they were now saying like, Jen, I don't know what just happened.
Right. That was worth it.
But I feel amazing. And I'm like, yes. Yay. So you do this for 2, 10, 5, 15 minutes a day.
Right.
All that energy you're absorbing
yeah.
from people, civilians or call takers or all those things, all that energy is being washed away.
Right.
Right? Like your analogy. Mm-hmm. Life is the bathtub, stress is the water, meditation's the drain.
Right.
That's another tool for their tool belt that mm-hmm. they're not taught in curriculum.
Right.
Under the quote-unquote wellness standard.
Which is changing.
Which is massively changing, and I am so here for it.
Yes. Well, you're helping, you're a part of the change.
I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful that I not only have a front row seat, but yeah. am able to help others on their journey and help them heal.
Well, I think that it's just, it's taking the stigma of it being woo-woo, which is happening, like I said, left and right. Stanford is now offering healing touch therapy sessions, which is another fancy Huge. Way of saying Stanford is offering Reiki sessions, which is incredible. But it's hitting mainstream, and why? Because it has to. It has reached critical mass. Suicides are up in first responder worlds, I think I read the other day. It's unreal. And it's not, like to your point, it's not just about retaining talent. It's about taking care of people mm-hmm. who are taking care of the people, mm-hmm. right? Like healing the healers, helping the helpers.
Yep.
It's so truly, truly, truly important. And I also think the younger generation, they don't think it's weird.
No.
The younger generation, they're all about it. Mm-hmm. And that's actually bringing, it's like injecting a little bit of, this is okay, even for the Xers and the boomers that are still in the workforce. So you have, is there a charity that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, so I was hooked up with a awesome nonprofit recently called the Overwatch Collective. So their slogan is one more, one less. One more is one less.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, so it's all about taking care of the first responders. Not just police, fire, dispatch, but veterans and their spouses and their children. And so with this nonprofit, the Overwatch Collective, they fund for the first responder, their spouse, or their children to have resources.
Oh, that's either amazing.
Licensed marriage family therapists or coaching sessions with me or other people. So they have...
So great.
It's so good. Oh, it's so good.
So if you guys are looking for a really good charity to donate to, mm-hmm. it is Overwatch.
The Overwatch Collective.
The Overwatch Collective. Mm-hmm. .com? Hope so. Let's Google it, people. The Overwatch Collective, it will pop up, but we just want to make sure that you are sending your money to the right place.
Yes.
Okay. So any last little bits that you want to leave our audience with today?
I think it's just a matter of, if I have any little bit, it's for those people who are listening who were once or who are in the shoes that I once was in, struggling and suffering in silence, not only are you not alone, but all you have to do is have a little bit of an open mind and a little bit of courage to try something different. Mm-hmm. It was the best thing that I ever did walking into the Zen room.
Even though she was kicking and screaming.
Even though I was kicking and screaming and thought my girlfriend was bananas. But it led to a different kind of healing journey. And I am so grateful to be in the position where I am now to help other people thrive.
Well, it's almost like the bricks were laid for you to do this work. Like, you know, if somebody were to say, Jen, do you finally know why you were put here on this planet? The answer is absolutely yes.
Totally. And the adjective that I think of when I look at the last 7 years of my life, gratitude. Yeah. I'm just so grateful.
Yeah. Even the tough moments.
Even the tough ones
when
that tried
to break
me. What
the heck is this? I know. It's so true.
Yep. No, I'm grateful.
In the big takeaway picture is, yes, I agree. Don't suffer in silence. There's help. There's help. There's help. Even if this world doesn't really do it for you, there will be other modalities that will. The idea is that life is to be enjoyed, not endured. And when you feel better as a person, you will be a better spouse, friend, mom, dad. You'll be able to smile. You'll be able to whistle in the shower again. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. It matters. So get the help that you need, whether your PTSI is, you know, lighter or the heaviest of the heavy, to heal what is hurting you inside so that you can get on the other side of it. And then everything shifts. So Jen, thank you very much
for having me.
Wonderful addition to the Zen Room, but also the first responders community. And I can't wait to see what you're doing next.
Thank you.
And for all of you out there in our beautiful podcast land, thanks for tuning in. May the force be with you, and we will catch you next time. Take care.